I have different people asking me about scheduling some things. Ricky Black has gotten ahold of me, Pastor Black, and wants to have a meeting either in March or April. And I told, you know, I told him, I don't particularly care, get God's mind on it. So it'd be a Monday through Wednesday. You know. He asked me if I preferred any dates. I told him I only date my wife.
Smart man.
Up here or down there?
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 5. Things have got a little chaotic now. Jeremiah is prophesying. He says in verse 1, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executed judgment that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. This is the biggest problem God's had through the centuries is finding a man. Okay, the book of Ezekiel, and God sought for a man, trying to find somebody. If you just look at Western New York, Western Pennsylvania, all over the place, there's churches, just can't find a pastor. Can't find anybody that'll come in and pastor them. I know of old pastors holding on to churches because they just can't find anybody who would ever come in and take over and love their people. Can't find them. It's my hope that from within what we have here, that God will raise up some. And that they'll be able to take over and take some of these little churches and do something with them. But here God's just looking for any man. Verse 2, and though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. In other words, everybody can say the nice things. Oh, the Lord lives. They don't believe that. Okay. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely they are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. And this is part of the problem when people go a long time without a man reproving them or telling them anything. It goes back to that thing in the book of Job, if there be one among a thousand, showing the man his uprightness, what's going on, why God's doing what he's doing. And so often things happen and everybody's just guessing why it's happening or whatever, and there's no man of God to explain to them, this is why this is going on. This is what God's doing. And so they're going through these things, God's chasing them, and they're not even getting why it's happening. Now it goes on, it says in verse 5, I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord and judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. So the old men at that time, the great men, grew up probably with great men of God. They had known what it was like to have God ruling. But now they've broken the bonds. They're doing whatever they want to do. They're not doing things God's way. They're just doing it any old way they want to do it. In many places of the country, that's what's going on. Okay? Men who grew up under men like Sammy Allen, grew up under men like Don Green, and grew up under these men, grew up under Bill Randall, grew up under those different ones. They had known the right way. Brother McVeigh was in prayer about a year or so ago about a man that he loved dearly who had taken over a major ministry somewhere. And he really wanted to speak to the man, and he was in prayer about what to say. And he listened to their last YouTube service, and the Spirit of God said, there's no hope. There's no hope. They're not going to listen to anything you say. He just listened to that service and realized just how far left field those people had gotten. And he didn't bother making the call. And it's sad because it's a ministry that at one time had been a strong, powerful ministry for God. So he goes on, he says, verse 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. You know, we don't really know what it's like to live around dangerous animals. I was reading the story of William Carey when he went to India, and because he had a rifle, pretty soon, hundreds of people from India were camping around him because they felt safer from the tigers. You just didn't think anything of it, the idea that one of your kids on the way home was eaten by a tiger. Not that you didn't think anything of it, but it wasn't anything strange. You know, it's like we accept auto accidents. Uncle so-and-so died in an auto accident. And those are the kind of things that people just put up with. They just endured that. That book, Death in the Long Grass, talks about how in Africa, when a lion gets loose, one of the problems is the people worship the lion. When I say they get loose, it begins to eat men. Lions don't naturally eat men, but if they ever eat one, it's the easiest meat they ever ate. It's a sweet, it's a good meat, and they enjoy it. And then what happens, the villagers get superstitious and begin to worship that lion, and they don't tell the government. Then when the government finds out that there's a lion, a man-eating lion, they cancel every single big game hunter's license until that lion's dead. So all big game hunters have to leave the safaris, all that kind of stuff, and they convene on that spot and kill it. But that lion will just jump in through the window of a house, walk over, pick a child up out of his bed, and jump back out and go. You wake up in the morning and your child's gone. You'll never see it again. And this is what God's telling Israel. This is going to start happening to you. Okay? This is what's going to go on. Okay? Because you haven't obeyed me. Verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? The children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods, when I had fed them to the full, and then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. And says this verse 8, they were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Down the road, in the next 5 years, the devil will raise up from within this group of people men that can't keep their eyes off other men's wives. As long as you've been in the, you know, you've seen it, they can't stop. Somehow or other, they get it in their imagination that it would be better for her if we were together. Maybe her husband will die in an auto accident and she'll realize I'm the man. And it destroys ministries. It's destroyed so many men of God. It's been the easiest thing. It's worked for 6,000 years to destroy men, destroy their reputations, destroy churches. Ruth Ann and I know what it's like to weep over that, where people that you loved, and that goes on, and you're just so stunned that that can go on in the ranks. And but as fed horses, they neigh after each other's wives. I heard a man of God some while ago, and he was talking about in his church, and he had a pretty good church. And the man told him, he said, you know, he says, me and another couple, we start talking about wife swapping, and at first it was just funny. Then one day we did it. He said, I've never been able to look at my wife the same. And he said, we got what we wanted, and now our lives are just miserable and awful. And those are the kind of things, if you find yourself with that kind of a temptation, if you find yourself with that kind of a daydream, saying to yourself, gosh, what would happen if, you know, my wife died and her husband died and we were there together. It was just meant to be. Years ago, when my sister's husband died, she had 3 children and he was in his mid-30s, engineer at Kodak in Rochester, and it was just a sudden thing. It's one of those things where he had a headache and one morning said, you know, I just have a headache. We just can't go anywhere. And went to go in, and he said, you know, my fingertips are tingling. Well, that worried her, and she took her into the hospital. He never came home again. And turned out that he had a tumor in his brain, or not a tumor, but some clots in his brain. And while she was sitting on the bed with him, they went through and through his heart. And they ran in with her sitting there, cutting his chest open and kneading his heart. And he's calling her name and dying, and it's over. Well, what happened then was the next day, 2 women showed up at her house and said, we're from the Widows Association in Rochester. For the next couple of weeks, you're going to hate us, but you'll join us. And this is a packet we give out to all young widows who are new widows. and the things that are going to happen to you. And one of them said, expect one of your husband's best friends now to make a move on you. She goes, no! Happened within 2 days. Within 2 days. Jody, this was from God. You know, you and I were meant to be together. But it said, expect that. All right? And those are just worldly people knowing that there's always someone out there has their eye on the wrong woman, thinking that, you know, this one could be for me, or a woman with her eye on the wrong man, this one could be for me, okay? And it's destructive. It's adultery just to be dreaming about it, okay? And it's one of those things, don't let you be that person. Don't let you be that person, okay? Don't do that. Have sense, okay? Watch what goes on. Keep your relationship right with your mate. Bill Randall used to say, wear him out, ladies. When he comes home, wear him out, all right? He won't be looking for other women. Wear him out, you know? And that was Bill Randall.
Okay, then. Yeah.
That's why she makes me do push-ups. We never did really understand, all right? Okay. All right. Verse 9, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And by the way, my sister did resent that group, and she did join it. Okay? They're just things they told her. This is what's going to happen. We know. All right? And she later joined it and helped and had to hand those packets once in a while to a new widow. All right, so shall not I visit these things? For these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. Battlements are those, you think of the top of a castle that goes up and down like this. Those are the battlements, the things they hide behind.
What does he mean by make not a full end?
In other words, don't completely destroy it. Okay. All right. For verse 11. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherous against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. They're just sure that's not going to happen to us. And the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. And, you know, all over the nation, there's men just preaching wonderful things, and, you know, how good everything is, and you know, one of the things I'm going to be writing upon, I need Timothy to give me a little more information, but is it Microsoft that's put out that AI?
It is.
Yeah. Microsoft now has put out an AI, an artificial intelligence on the internet. And you can go on there. For example, Timothy deals with highly technical bearings for the space industry. And he can type in a thing, how do you do a certain thing? And that AI will instantly begin to type out and give him an essay on how to handle that bearing. My son Michael, just for fun, had it write his own evaluation at work, and it was very intelligent, very good, and it'll make emails, essays, all that kind of stuff, but it goes from the entire internet, takes all knowledge, and brings it together, and tells you something, and you'd swear a human being is doing it. So he asked it, is repentance a gift? And want to know something? There's not many preachers could have written as well as what that did.
I can read it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Go ahead and read it. Yeah, got it? Go ahead and read it. Come up here so it's caught on this.
The question is repentance a gift from God? Repentance is an act of, this is what it said, repentance is an act of turning away from sin and turning towards God. It is considered a fundamental aspect of Christianity and other religions, as it is seen as a necessary step for forgiveness and salvation. Some Christians believe that repentance is a gift from God, as they believe that it is only through the grace and power of God that one can truly repent. According to this belief, God gives the gift of repentance to those who are willing to receive it, enabling them to turn away from their sins and towards God. This belief is based on the concept of prevenient grace, which is the idea that God's grace operates in the life of every person to make them aware of their need for salvation and enable them to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, it is important to note that repentance is not a one-time event. It is a continuous process of turning away from sin and turning towards God. It requires humility, self-awareness, and a willingness to change. It also requires a deep understanding of God's love and grace and of one's own unworthiness, which is a process that can be helped with the help of the Holy Spirit. In summary, repentance is considered by some Christians as a gift from God, as it is only through the grace and power of God that one can truly repent and turn away from sin and towards God.
That's an artificial intelligence going, zapping through all the information in the world and putting that out. Okay.
That's odd.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, and they're only just beginning with that now. Okay. Only just beginning. And anybody can go on there. Okay. He can show you how to do it and ask it questions and things and you know, baking recipes and all this guy, it'll tell you anything you want to know, how to do this, how to do that, and completely explain it to you. Years ago, when, again, I used to street preach, I used to preach in the pulpit, work at Soul Winning Ministries before I ever got saved. And I had more Bible knowledge than most people did. I knew a lot. And I had a hard time believing that a man who could stand in the pulpit and preach with, and such, and people would like it, it'd be good, and pull this knowledge together straight out of a King James Bible. Hard for me to believe I could be lost. And one of the questions that the Spirit of God said to me is, what do you know that you couldn't put on a computer? There wasn't anything I didn't know you could put on a computer. I could have put any of it on. Is a computer saved? No. Okay. And here's a artificial intelligence that could have been preached in any pulpit anywhere and exclaimed as a man of God. Okay? And yet there's no Spirit of God in that whatsoever. Yes, sir?
I wonder if they're putting in these new robots now, these wife-like robots. You know, they put something like that in there, you couldn't tell the difference.
No. And these are the ones just for the general public. Can you imagine one the military has? You know, the old song, Michael Road is but a shore. He's a robot, Michael Road. All right.
What?
All right.
That's a good one, Terry.
All right. Verse 14, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and thy people wood, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. In other words, this is going to be the Chaldeans coming down upon them. Their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are almighty men. In other words, going to kill a lot of people. And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters shall eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trustest with a sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. And it shall come to pass when you say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then thou shalt answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence? Which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. Though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over. He's showing his power. Look, I'm the one that set the bounds of the seas. I'm the one that put it where it is. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they to their heart, let us now fear the Lord. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us appointed weeks of the harvest. In other words, in their hearts, they never tell themselves, I really need to fear God in this. I need to be afraid of what God's going to do. Okay? Verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper in the right of the needy, do they not judge? Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? The worse the preacher is, the bigger the buck people pay him. They do. I mean, just those guys, they have private jets and TV shows and book contracts and, sir?
Like Joel Osteen.
Like Joel Osteen, yep. Very typical. Randy?
So what I understand, kind of going from that line of thinking, say what they're paying for fraudulent, so to say, not even realizing it.
Yeah, they. In other words, these guys just know what people want to hear, and they tell them what they want to hear. People want to hear, you're wonderful. You know, and that's what they want to hear. They want somebody to convince them they're wonderful. And they're not wonderful, but they want somebody to tell them they're wonderful. You know, I saw a thing today, I put it on Facebook, with Thomas Sowell just saying this. He said, you know, when I was young, I used to think that socialists were for the poor. And he said, that's like saying the SPCA is for animals. If you notice, they never have any animals on the board. They make their living by protecting animals or whatever, but they don't have any animals on the board. And he said, when you go to these socialist organizations, a bunch of spoiled rich kids running everything. And that's all it is. And some of you who grew up being fed by socialist institutions, and you did. I fed my kids on food stamps, all right? But in reality, did they make you happy? Did they give you fulfillment in life? Not at all. Okay? And all they did is become wealthy themselves. I remember probably 25 years ago, in fact, the guy ended up becoming the governor of South Carolina, McMasters was his name, but I was at a political meeting and McMasters was there, and he was a doctor at one time, and he told me, he said, you know, I was in the Andersonville Hospital, Anderson Hospital, and he said, I had to change a bedpan, and I'm a doctor. And he said, I looked on a couple of floors, and he said, they have more employees in that hospital now than ever before, but they're all administrative. They're all taking care of all the free programs, the insurance, and everything else. And he said, but there's really no one to take care of the people. And almost all the cost of medicine that's gone through the roof is because of socialized medicine. And all how many millions of people have to be employed to make that work? I remember in 1958, I jumped off a porch on Fair Oak Street in Little Valley and broke my wrist. My dad put me in the car, drove me up to Dr. Stoll's house, took me up there, and they laid me down on the couch. He looked at it, popped it, boop, 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 put a cast on it, whatever else, charged my dad a couple of bucks, and I went home again. And, you know, and imagine what that would cost today. Yeah. I remember about 23, 24 years ago in South Carolina, there was still a place called the Pinner Clinic, an old doctor who just kept a clinic going. It was $15 for an office call. If you didn't use insurance. If you just walked in there, the office call is $15. And I'd been sick a couple days, had a fever, and it wouldn't go away. My wife convinced me to go there, and I sat down with him, and he said, yeah, you've got pneumonia. And he said, two types of pneumonia. He said, one type of pneumonia is bacterial, and he said, that's the kind you want today, because I'm going to give you penicillin to get rid of it. If it's a viral pneumonia, the penicillin isn't going to get rid of it. It's going to go away on its own. He said, I could send you to the hospital and they can do x-rays and take blood samples and everything. And he said, but there's no need unless you want to do that. I said, no. So he gave me a prescription. It was $8 for penicillin, $15 to see it. And I remember going into the business development club the next day, and this guy talking about, I had pneumonia, and I went to the hospital. And by the time he got done, it was thousands of dollars they spent on him for the exact same thing I did for $23. Okay? He went the way of the socialized medicine, the insurance, and all that kind of stuff. I just walked into the Pinner Clinic, okay, and took care of it. But that's gone now. The bureaucrats have gotten rid of that. You're not going to do that anymore. Now everything is that confusion and everything of that sort. And another generation, they'll be telling people you're not going to be allowed to live anymore. And people will argue, that's right. We spend enough money on that person. Okay? The government will say, but we fed you growing up. Yeah. You know? We took care of everything you have. Every bit, every cell in your body came from us. Okay? And, you know, all that. And, you know, and you want us to pay now to take care of you a little bit longer? And if you don't think that's going to come about, just look what's happened in the last, you know, 2015, sodomite marriage. We're 7, 8 years old. You know what they said then? We don't want your children. We just want to get married. Yeah. Tell me that's true anymore. Okay? Can you believe you live in a land where if your 13-year-old daughter came home and said, I want a radical mastectomy, you have no right to stop her. None. Your son came home and said, I want to be chemically castrated and then I want to have it physically done. You have no right to stop him. Okay? No, they'll take your child away if you do that. Now, are we at Sodom and Gomorrah yet? Not quite. In Sodom and Gomorrah, it was mandatory. Send the men out. Okay, it was mandatory.
Curious, Pastor, do you remember the story I told you to go on top of that when I had that talk with Carrie? I'm guessing that's a no.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's a no.
But it will correlate, I promise you.
Okay.
This one day, she was complaining to me about her pedophile neighbors, and because I was a friend of hers, I could say this freely, to a sodomite woman, might I add, saying, you can complain all you want about them, but the fact of the matter is, you guys open up the gateway for those people, and they will use the exact same reason to get their
position. That's true, Randy. Yeah, that's right.
And they'll say, the gays got their chance, why can't we have ours?
That's right. They're already now calling themselves minor attracted people.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, that's what you have to call them now, minor attracted people, okay?
Yeah.
And,
minor attracted?
Yeah. If a 13-year-old has the right to get a radical mastectomy and change yourself into a man, why doesn't she have the right to do something with a football coach? See? Now, you know I don't believe that. But everybody says, oh, never. Everything we ever said never to has happened. Everything. Everything they swear they'll never do, they're doing. Okay? It's going downhill. And that's when the bloodshed will start. You'll be seen as the evil one. And you'll be seen as just, a blight on the economy. And, you know, the debt's too high. We can't take care of you anymore. Look, oh, we've rationed enough health care for you. And, you know, we're going to cut you off now. And it's coming. All right.
Preacher. So as parents, what do you recommend as countering that?
You have to develop your kitchen table as a place that those children identify with, that they love. I use the Kuntz kids as an example. Because Randy asked, well, how do you handle it if your kids are out there and they feel like they're dressing different? Can you imagine that being a problem with the Kuntz girls? They identify as being the Kuntz girls. Their identity is with their parents. It's not with that society out there. It's not with a girl next door or whatever else. You build a strong family, they'll identify as being part of you, okay? And you build that with your children. You build that rapport with them. And again, keep in mind, for 70 years, the Communist Party ran Russia. For 70 years, children were encouraged to narc on their parents, and no one was allowed to go to church, and all that. And when it was over, there were still Christian families in Russia who throughout every bit of that maintained. Okay. So is it possible? Yes, it is. Okay. All right, chapter 6. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakkerem, for evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. And again, that's Nebuchadnezzar. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flock shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, hew down trees and cast them out against Jerusalem. This is a city to be visited. She is wholly oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence is spoil, is hurt in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Now that's an important verse. Lest my soul depart from thee. Where is the soul of God? It's in the temple. It's where the glory of God came down in the time of Solomon. When they dedicated the temple, the glory of God came into the temple. The people couldn't, the priests had to step out, couldn't even minister. It's that glory of God that will depart in Ezekiel 10 when the cherubim come over and they hover over the temple and the glory of God goes out of the temple and leaves with the cherubim and leaves. Okay? So that glory will depart. And when it does, Nebuchadnezzar just comes in and sacks the temple. God doesn't care anymore. Okay? He just comes in and sacks Jerusalem. He doesn't care anymore. God's soul departed. It's one of the most frightening verses in the Word of God. My soul shall depart from thee.
Pastor, is that why when Jesus walked through the land of Zebulun, is that it invited all the people because his soul was back there?
Well, it says, yeah, the people in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali have seen a great light. What they saw was him. Yeah, but that's good.
Pastor, the Bible talks about the great and true temple being heaven. Is that why? Because all the temples here, like this building itself, will not actually be.
Well, the thing is, the tabernacle and then the temple were patterned after the one in heaven. Okay, that's what was up in heaven, and they're all patterned after it. Everything on this earth is patterned after things in the heavens. The cities, there's a Jerusalem above, a Jerusalem here. There was a Daniel on the earth, there was a Daniel up there. An angelic kingdom. All right, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. In other words, yes, sir?
Like how you're just talking about, like how they're, like how everything here is like kind of like heaven.
This, patterned after it.
Yeah, what it kind of sounds like to me is like dimensions.
Like what?
Dimensions. Some things are same, some things aren't, similar, not.
Okay, yeah. Moses was told, see that thou make it according to the pattern that I showed thee in the mount. Okay? All right. Verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Circumcision is the law. If their ear is uncircumcised, it means they can't hear the law. Go get at a bus stop somewhere where a bunch of Cuba Rushford students are waiting for a bus to pick them up from a football game. Talk to them about the laws of God. There's none of them with their ears circumcised. There's none of them that there's no delight in that. They can't understand anything you're talking about. Their ear isn't circumcised. Think how long it took some of you sitting under the preaching of the Word of God for God to circumcise your ear and for you to be prepared. Now, generations in time past, that circumcision happened young. Their ear was circumcised to the laws of God. If you'd lived in Cuba Rushford, you know, 150 years ago, it would mean nothing to see a crowd at the courthouse lawn because they're getting ready to hang a man. Okay? Nothing, you know, they're going to hang him. And you knew who it was. And, you know, old son's uncle so-and-so, yeah, is being hung. And people just expected that kind of thing. And the laws of God were printed on courthouses. The laws of God were all over the place. It was talked about in the schools. All churches talked about it. Very few churches that wouldn't indoctrinate people in the laws of God. What churches might not do is show you the remedy to the laws of God. Some churches were poor in that, but they're all good at showing you that. Today, kids aren't learning that in Sunday school, the few that go to Sunday school, all right? They're not learning that in their churches. They're not learning it anywhere, okay? And what the laws of God are. There's that song again. Years I spent in vanity and pride, carry not my Lord was crucified. Know not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. How long? Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. What turns a person to Calvary? The laws of God. When you begin to realize those laws are for God and against me. I myself am a violation of the very laws of God. They're just, they're good laws, and I've broken them, I'm against them, I've done wrong with them, and God has loved me anyway. But here he's saying, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hear. That's the problem with the big soul winning ministries, is they go out there to all these people whose ears are uncircumcised, they can't hear, get them to pray the prayer, tell them you're saved because you prayed that prayer, and then go on again. And, you know, you just have people all over the place who now won't even look into anything because they think they're okay. Now, goes on and says in 11, therefore I'm full of the fear of the Lord. I'm weary with holding it in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband and the wife shall be taken, and the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my peace slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, again, what a dangerous thing. Person comes in and, you know, I understand that you have a shot you can give me. I just cut my hand on a barbed wire fence and I haven't had a tetanus shot in years. And you give them water in their veins and say, there, you're safe now. Okay? They get a lockjaw. All right? Why? You lied to them. That wasn't a tetanus shot you just gave to them. And there's people all over the place who someone don't peace now. You're okay. You'll go to heaven. God's a liar if you're not saved, you know, and there is no peace. If you follow them into their homes, you see that, okay? Their homes are a place of war, of bitterness, of hatred, of vileness. And there's no love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, meekness, gentleness. You know, it's not there, okay? But they're all, oh, we're saved. And he goes on and he says this. I just lost my spot here.
15.
Thank you. Aha. Uh-huh. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast out, saith the Lord. And again, this goes back to this thing, and I always go back to something David Cornelius said. He's talking about guys with their porn. There's guys that just have the app right on their phone. If you look at their phone, Pornhub, this one, that one, different one, where they whoop, look at it. There's no shame. Doesn't bother them at all that they're doing that. And vile. By the way, the same kids who will teach your children how to get to the porn apps will teach them how to hide it so that you won't find it on the device. Keep that in mind, okay? My kids could go and to pick up anything you have on any system and access porn, and 5 minutes later, you won't find it anywhere that they were on it. Okay? You're the same kids who teach you how to get on it will teach you how to hide it. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It's amazing how many churches and ministries and themes call themselves old paths, but they don't walk in the old paths. There's no repentance. There's no law bringing people to judgment. They just all run around using the Romans road and, you know, and the high pressure altar calls and all that kind of stuff. And McVeigh was at a meeting that some of you went up there, but he actually timed. He watched one of the altar calls and timed, and the average was about 10, 15 seconds. You'll just going up there, boop, boop, boop. Why? Because you have to be seen going up to the altar. You know, it's your way to applaud for the preacher that he went to the altar call, all right? And people really call old-timey whatever went on when they first got in the ministry. They call it old-timey. They've changed it to their flavor, but they call that old-timey then. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, as saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. Their neighbor and his friend shall perish. So they're bringing offerings, but God's not interested in their offerings. It's disgusting to them, their offerings. And it's why Jesus Christ said, if you go to the altar with your offering, if you have aught against your brother, take care of that first, okay? Your offering doesn't mean anything to him if you got aught against your brother. And there's a thousand other things that'll make God disgusted with what you're trying to do. Verse 22, thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear, they are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, they ride upon horses set in array, as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble, anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth unto the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. I've read stories of people in the last bastions of places that are being overtaken, and the enemy's coming in, and there's no more stopping them, and they're just coming in and doing whatever they want and such, and it's never pretty, and this is what ends up happening in Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar came in and sacked the city. The prophets had told him it'll never happen. But it happened. Goes on and says, verse 26, O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. He's talking to Jeremiah here. He says, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. You have a call to preach. This is what God set you to do. Be a tower amongst the people. Watch them. See what they're doing. Preach to them. Show them their way. Okay? Verse 28. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain. For the wicked are not plucked away. And he says this, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. And again, reprobate is something that God has rejected. Reprobate thinking, reprobate people, reprobate silver. In other words, somebody brought silver to the silversmith and he looked at it and said, that's not worth anything. Okay, there might be a few flecks of silver in there, but it's mostly just junk and dross. There's nothing else to it. And God called them reprobate silver. I'm going to stop there. For a while, we're just going to do two chapters at a time. And would you close us in prayer, please? Look up.
Well, thank you for all the help we got tonight. The Lord said, It's just so enjoyable to spend time with you. Bless us, God, as we go and meditate on these things and judge our ways according to the Word of God. So thank you for the preacher. Lord, send us home safely. Help us, Lord, thank you for the laws and the rules and that protect us. And Lord, as we travel home, help us to love our neighbor. God, help us to be patient with people. And bless us as we go, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.